Welcome back to Clutch Time with Mike on the Mic. It's your boy Mike, and I'm back with another episode. It's divisional round of the playoffs, y'all. We had a wild card weekend for us this past weekend. And we're set up for some great games for the divisional round. So let's go over what happened this past weekend. First, in a shocker to me, a very big shocker, the Houston Texans beat the Cleveland Browns 45-14. Joe Flacco did not come to play. That man threw two pick sixes back to back. And CJ Stroud showed that he is him. He is him. In the words of Austin Reeves, you know, he hit that shot and he was yelling, he is him, in the playoffs last year. CJ Stroud is him. Love to see it. Can't believe that they won that game. The way that they did, they completely dominated Cleveland. They made Cleveland look outmatched. And like I said, CJ Stroud doesn't play like he's a rookie at all. He looks like a 5-6 year vet who knows what he's doing. He's got command of his offense. He knows his reads. He can read a defense. He can check in and out of plays. I love to see what D'Amico Ryans has done down there in Houston. It's fantastic to see. And CJ Stroud is breaking that stigma around Ohio State quarterbacks, because if you know, you know, Ohio State quarterbacks do not do good in the NFL. But CJ Stroud is changing that, one play at a time, one game at a time. And then, Kansas City beat Miami 26-7. No shocker there. Kansas City just destroyed Miami. Miami had to go up to Kansas City in that cold weather, and they're not built for that at all. Tyreek Hill got held in check, and Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes. We're going to see what he does next week going on the road for the first time ever to Buffalo, but I think Kansas City can get back to the AFC Championship game. And then a big shocker for me, big shocker for all of America, was Green Bay went into Dallas, where Dallas had not lost all season. They went into AT&T Stadium and absolutely destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to get into more of that in a little bit, but they destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. So another year of saying we'll win the championship next year for Cowboy fans. So sorry to be y'all. And then the most intriguing matchup for me of the weekend was the Detroit Lions versus the Los Angeles Rams. Detroit won that game 24-23. Matt Stafford's homecoming back to Detroit. They booed that man every time he came on the field. I'm pretty sure it's no hard feelings, but I mean, somebody had to win, somebody had to lose, and Jared Goff showed that he came to play. Matt Stafford came to play. I think Matt Stafford was concussed in that game, but he probably talked to the trainer like, hey, you got to let me play. You know, something I would do. Had a concussion before, kind of looked at my athletic trainer like, hey, I got to go back to practice, or I got to go back in the game. Yeah, whatever. I don't care about none of that. But that was back before we knew all what we know about concussions. So, I mean, if he did have a concussion and he went back in the game, you know, that's going to be on him. I don't think that's on the training staff. He probably forced his way back into the game. Who knows? And then Buffalo played Pittsburgh. Buffalo won that game 31-17. And at one point in that game, Josh Allen said, and I was hollering, because that's immediately what I thought of when he had that, I believe it was a 52-yard run. And Pittsburgh's got a lot of questions to answer, because at the press conference, they asked Mike Tomlin about his deal. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He abruptly turned face and walked out of the press conference. So maybe some trouble in Pittsburgh. Who knows? I don't know if he was just frustrated with the game or he's frustrated with the question. I have no idea what's going on in Mike Tomlin's head, but Mike Tomlin is one hell of a head coach. 17 seasons, 17 winning seasons. He's never had a losing season. So if the Pittsburgh Steelers elect to go in a different direction, that'll be on them. But Mike Tomlin won't be a free agent for long. I'm sure there any team would be willing to pick him up as a head coach, because the man is a leader of men. I think to be a head coach in the NFL, you have to be a leader of men, and Mike Tomlin is definitely a leader of men. And then on Monday night, last night, Tampa Bay beat the brakes off Philadelphia 32-9. And the talk this morning was, what is Philly going to do? They lost their offensive coordinator from last year that got them to the Super Bowl. He's the head coach in Indianapolis this year. They fired their defensive coordinator or moved him somewhere, and they moved Matt Patricia to be defensive coordinator. That didn't help whatsoever. The offensive coordinator, Like I said last night on Facebook, it's hard to believe that at one point the Eagles were 10-1. For them to be 10-1 and then to go out like they did, losing, I believe, losing five games out of the last six, and then limping into the playoffs and then losing the way they lost in Tampa last night. Their defenses look atrocious. Like, they're scared to tackle. They can't cover. They were getting beat on coverages, not tackling well. And their offensive game plan is just, like, run, play action pass, try to throw it deep. It just, no creativity. And this man, the Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, he's been getting interviews for head coaching positions because owners feel like it's not on him. He feels like it's on Philly to not put him in the best position to be a coach. But to me, if the team is performing at this level, and then once you become the offensive coordinator, granted they were 10-1 at one point, and then they go down here, and you can't fix it, I feel like that's more on you than it is on the players as a coach. But, I mean, that's just me. So if he gets a head coaching job somewhere, I'm sure that team is not going to be happy, or what that fan base. I know what, if he gets hired in Tennessee, I'm going to lose it, because I know they interviewed him, or they're going to interview him, or whatever the case may be. But if he gets hired, I'm going to lose my mind. With that being said, with Tampa Bay winning last night, we saw the end to one of the greatest careers in NFL history. Jason Kelce, the center for the Philadelphia Eagles and brother of Travis Kelce, the All-Pro first ballot Hall of Famer tight end. Jason Kelce, to me, is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer as a center. I know he probably didn't get as much recognition before Travis bust onto the scene because Travis is Travis. But for those of us who watch football, and for me who played on the offensive line, I know linemen, and I know Jason Kelce is one of the best to ever do it. Jason Kelce, for his career, he played 13 seasons. He won the Super Bowl. He was the center of the Super Bowl team that won in, I believe that was 2017, against the Patriots. He's a six-time first-team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler. He played 193 games, and he started 193 games. So Jason Kelce is an Iron Man. He was contemplating retirement after the Super Bowl last year, him losing, but he signed a one-year deal to come back. And then for them to go out the way that he did, I know it's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth, but he told his teammates last night in the locker room after the game with, you know, emotions, crying, that he was retiring, he's hanging it up. And I know in 2029, he's going to get the call to go to Canton, Ohio, which is where the NFL Hall of Fame is. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jason Kelce is one of the best centers I've ever seen in my life of watching play. The man knows what he's doing. So hats off to Jason Kelce. Great career, man. Can't wait to see you in Canton. You did it the right way. You did it the great way. And more power to you, my brother. More power to you. let's go over next week's games. We got, let me see, the Texans versus the Ravens. Man, I'm tired of picking against C.J. Stroud, but I think it comes to an end. They're going to Baltimore, and Baltimore had a week off, so they had time to rest and get their players right. I think it'll be a close game. I really do. I don't think that the Ravens will go and blow them out. I think it'll be a close game. Versus Wild Card Weekend, every game was a blowout. Outside of Detroit and L.A., every game was a blowout. Give me the Ravens in that game. I'll say the Ravens win 24-21. I think Lamar Jackson gets the ball last. And Lamar Jackson is able to drive him down the field and kick a field goal to win that game. And he's got Justin Tucker, who's probably the best kicker I've ever seen in my lifetime. I know Adam Vinatieri probably would have a debate about that, but Justin Tucker doesn't miss. He just doesn't. The man is clutch. And then on the NFC side, we got the upstart Packers with Jordan Love as their quarterback versus the San Francisco 49ers. It's in San Fran. I don't think that the Packers would be able to come out and do what they did to Dallas. They'll be able to do that to San Francisco, excuse me. San Francisco on defense is, they're great at every level. Defensive line, linebackers, secondary. They're great at every level of their defense. They're great at every level of their offense. Running the ball, pass protection, passing the ball. They can run with the best of them. They can throw with the best of them. And they can pass protect with the best of them. Trent Williams is their left tackle. They got Deebo Samuel as a wide receiver and George Kittle as a tight end. Can't think of off the top of my head who their running back is, but they got Brock Purdy back there throwing the ball. And I know there was some controversy early on in the season where Cam Newton called him a game manager. I get it. I understand. I get the premise of what you were saying. But Brock Purdy's been pretty damn good all season. I think he was fourth in the league in passing yards this year. So, obviously, he can throw the ball. He knows what he's doing. It's not like he only threw for 2,000 yards. He's legit relying on his defense to win him games. He's out there throwing the rock around. So, whether he's a game manager is yet to be seen. In my eyes, he's only been starting this one season. So, we'll see if that comes to fruition or whatnot, if Cam Newton was right. Then we got the Bucks and the Lions. It's in Detroit. Give me Detroit. I think Jared Goff is on a mission to prove that he wasn't a fluke, that he went to the Super Bowl a few years ago, and that he's the number one overall pick, and he's not a fluke, versus the number one, another overall number one pick in Baker Mayfield, who I believe is a fluke, a bust. I think he just got put in the right position, or right situation in Tampa Bay, and he's been able to take advantage of it, but I still don't think he's that guy to lead you to the promised land. So give me Detroit in that game. I feel like Detroit will win that game 31-17. 31-17. And then we got the Chiefs versus the Bills. Now, why is this significant? Because this is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' playoff career that he has to leave Kansas City, go on the road to another team, and play in their building for a AFC playoff game. Now, in the Super Bowl, that's different. That's a neutral site. But AFC Championship, AFC Divisional, Wild Card, he's always been at home. He's never had to leave Kansas City, so we'll see how that goes. But you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast all season, I'm not a believer in Josh Allen. I'm not. I'm just not. I think he's going to go to Kansas, or he's going to be at home, and then they're not going to be able to say, well, if we'd have been at home, we'd have won the game. You got the game at home this year, and Kansas City looks ripe for the taking. They don't look as great on offense as they've looked in years past, and their defense is legit. Their defense has finally caught up with the offense of years past. The defense is legit, but their offense isn't there, but it's still Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce. Give me the Chiefs in that game. I think the Chiefs win, I'll say the Chiefs win 28-25. I think that Patrick Mahomes gets the ball last, which we've all seen. He drives it down the field, kicks a field goal, and win the game. I think it'll come down to literally a field goal, but if Pat Mahomes got the ball last, give me Pat Mahomes every time. So then that would leave the Ravens versus the Ravens versus the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and then the 49ers and the Lions in the NFC Championship game. But we'll get to those predictions when we get there, just in case it doesn't go the way that I'm thinking it's going to go. But for my Cowboy fans, listen, listen. For all of us who aren't Cowboy fans, this is what we've been trying to tell you the entire year, right here. Right there. That's what we've been trying to tell you. They are who we thought they were. Literally, they are who we thought they were. And for all my friends that are Cowboys fans, this right here. I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I really don't. I do not know what to tell y'all. And this is why I think maybe not this week, or the week after that, but maybe first week of February, we start to see wholesale changes in Dallas. Mike McCarthy went 12-5 3 years straight, I believe, with two division titles. They won a division title this year, had a home playoff game against the Young Packers. If I'm not mistaken, they were 7.5-point favorite to win that game. And like I said, they lost 48-32. And what, for those of you who didn't watch the game, you'll think, oh, maybe the Cowboys had a chance. No, it wasn't that close. I know Dak ended the game 41-60 for 403 yards, three touchdowns, and two interceptions. But when the game was 48-16, when the Cowboys or the Packers had that game definitely in hand, it wasn't even close. Dak Prescott at that time was 24-39 with 10-19 left in the game. Dak was 24-39 for 193 yards, one touchdown, and two picks. And one of those picks went for a pick six, and he did what all quarterbacks do. He tried to force it to his number one wide receiver because they weren't on the same page. Him and CeeDee Lamb at the beginning of the game weren't on the same page. They just weren't connecting with each other. And he tried to force the ball to CeeDee Lamb, and he threw it right to the safety who was playing man coverage. He basically telegraphed the throw. And if Dak could go back and he could watch that play, he'll see that it looked like it was trips, and Brandon Cooks was the slot, and then CD was the first inside receiver, and then I believe Michael Gallup was the outside receiver. And they all three ran slants, and had he came off of CD and just threw it to Brandon Cooks was streaking down the middle of the field, and he'd caught the ball. He might have scored. Brandon Cooks is pretty fast. So I think Dak will have to clean that up. I don't think Dak will get an extension in Green Bay, in Dallas, because I think this is Dak's ninth year now, if I'm not mistaken, eighth or ninth year. And we keep saying Dak's going to take that next step. Now, in the regular season this season, Dak was fantastic. I will give him that. He was great in the regular season this year. But in big games, like he said out of his own mouth, I just sucked. And he did. He wasn't good Sunday whatsoever. And like Shannon Sharpe has been saying since he's been on Undisputed, now he's on Nightcap with Chad Ochocinco and Gilbert Arenas. The stats I read to you that Dak finished with the 403 yards, three touchdowns, and two picks, those are empty calories. He got all them yards when they had to throw the ball. Once Green Bay had took their foot off the gas, like I said, it was 48-16. With 10:19 left in the game, they ended up scoring two touchdowns and getting 1 2-point conversion. Was it what one? No. They got 2 2-point conversions. Excuse me. And like I said, they ended up losing the game 48-32. So, shocker to me. I was legit shocked. I thought that Dallas would beat Green Bay handily because, like I said, Dallas had been playing good all year. They were good on offense. Their defense was fantastic. But, you know, that's me believing in the Cowboys. Should have kept it how I've been doing it. But, you know, I think Mike McCarthy will get fired. I don't think Dak will sign an extension. I don't think Jerry will offer him an extension. I don't know who they're going to get as their head coach. I know it's been floated around that maybe they should get Bill Belichick, but I don't think it'll work with Bill Belichick because Bill is going to want full control, and I don't think that Jerry Jones is going to want to give it to him, so I don't think that'll work there. I think Philly is going to fire Nick Sirianni as their head coach, and if I was them, if I call Bill Belichick, I see what he wants and bring him in for an interview, I'd interview Mike Vrabel. I'd even interview Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. I know Jim Harbaugh interviewed with the San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, or Las Vegas, whatever they are, wherever city they're in. I know he interviewed with them, so he might get that job. He's already got a quarterback with Justin Herbert there. And Jim Harbaugh is a great builder of teams, and he can get them to the Super Bowl because he got the 49ers to the Super Bowl a few years ago. Well, not a few years ago. It was more than about a decade ago, when he was going against his brother John with the Ravens. So if I was Philly, if I'm getting rid of Nick Sirianni, I'm calling Bill Belichick, I'm calling Mike Vrabel, and I'm calling Jim Harbaugh. For Dallas, if they fire Mike McCarthy, I'd call Mike Vrabel and I'd call Jim Harbaugh just to see if they'd be interested in the coaching position, but just know that it comes with you being a head coach up under Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones just has his hand in everything as far as Dallas is concerned. So we'll see, man. We'll see how everything unfolds. It's going to be a great offseason with the NFL draft, all the coaching changes, who's going where, who's leaving what team, and this, that, and the third, and who's getting drafted and all that. And Super Bowl, it's going to be fantastic. Usher's going to be the halftime performer. So that'll be good to see. But like I said, it was a wild, wild, wild card weekend, and the divisional round sets up to be great, in my opinion. So for me, I'm going to be definitely tuned in to watch and see what happens. That's all I got for y'all this week, man. It wasn't not a long podcast episode, but I just wanted to go over this past weekend's games and then go over what's going to happen next week and then what I think is going to happen as far as coaching changes and changes around the league. And that shout out to Jason Kelce retiring. But again, man, I appreciate everybody that tunes in to Clutch Time with Mike on the Mic. Like I said, I'm going to be doing these video podcasts now and also the ones that you can hear on wherever you listen to it, on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music. The video will be uploaded to my YouTube page. Like I said, it's _345Mike_. That's my YouTube page. You can search it, find it, and see the videos. And then eventually we'll start having people come by the house and they'll be on the video with me. But like I said, man, I appreciate everybody that tunes in, man. Y'all stay blessed, stay safe, stay warm, and let's continue to have a great year, man.